Come, Lord Jesus, come. Let us find in these words, your word, that river of living water for your children who thirst. Amen. Please be seated. Well, this morning we continue in our series, All In and All In for Transformation. What do we mean by that? We'll review that at the beginning of each sermon in the series, All In. And we look to 1 Corinthians 12 to tell us what that is all about. Paul writes there about the nature of the church, and he says that we can't say Jesus is Lord saved by the power of the Holy Spirit. So if we can say Jesus is Lord, we are endowed with the Holy Spirit. And the same Holy Spirit calls us to be engaged in the life of the church, engaged in the life of the community of faith. He goes on to say that the Holy Spirit endows with us, each and every one of us, with a gift as he sees fit for the welfare of the whole body. And then he goes on and talks about how each part must play its part. And so we know that if someone isn't playing his or her part in the life of the community of faith, the church is somewhat crippled. It hobbles along. If you are a foot or a leg and you refuse to be the foot or the leg, then we will not stand upon two feet. If you are a hand and refuse to be the hand, we as the body of Christ won't be able to grasp the high things of God that we are meant to grasp. We are all in and all meant to be in. It's the design of God, the plan of God. As we say in the newcomers class, the membership class, we have no desire for pew sitters here. We want each and every person fully engaged in what God is doing in this community of faith called St. Peter's. All in, but not all in for just anything. It's all in for transformation. There is a work of the Holy Spirit that is meant to be achieved in us. What is the goal of God? What is he doing to those of us he draws into a relationship with him through Christ? He is transforming us into his likeness. And we go back to 2 Corinthians 3 to see that, where Paul explains the role of the Holy Spirit in the new covenant. He is transforming us into the likeness of Jesus Christ such that we have increasing glory. The glory of the old covenant was fading away. That's why Moses' face was veiled. But in the New Testament, in the new covenant, what God is doing in Christ Jesus, our glory is on the rise. How is that happening? Well, the Lord is instilling the likeness of his Son Jesus in us through this process of sanctification. We're being transformed into that likeness. And the more of Christ we have within us, the more his glory will shine upon our face. So people see glory. They see transformation. They see new and abundant life being realized in us. All in and all in for transformation. There's a great deal of work to be done by the church, but the work of God in the Christian is to transform him or her into the likeness of Jesus. That is our vision. All in and all in for transformation. And we have intent or intention about that. Your leaders, the leadership council, the leadership team of this church, since November has been in the process of reviewing what the work of the church is and how people are to be involved. It's reconsidered all of these things and adopted again the intent to see it happen, that every person who is made a part of this body of Christ by the Holy Spirit will be engaged in some way. We are committed to that. So we have vision, we have intent, we also have means. The purpose-driven teams, you've heard us talk about them before. Worship, discipleship, evangelism, service, and fellowship. These are things that Rick Warren identified years ago that are meant to be achieved in the life of the church. And so your leadership is formed around those teams. Your leaders are engaged in those teams. They lead those teams in such a way that through them, other teams are created, and we mean for every person to be engaged in the life of the church through these purposes and through these purpose-driven teams. That is the means by which we do it. And so we're spending a few weeks rehearsing what those purposes are and the members of those teams so that you can be in touch with them as you pray about how is it that you are engaged in what God is doing here at St. Peter's. That's so important to us, all in. And so we want to burden you with. I want to burden you with that challenge of considering, how am I engaged in a way that is advancing the kingdom through one of these purpose-driven teams? And last week we took up worship. This week we will take up discipleship. You know, discipleship has got to be pretty important in the life of the church, doesn't it? You know, learned men and women over the centuries have described the church in a variety of ways, and especially in the last century, they tried to describe what the New Testament says, sum it up in a few short words. And they give us two things, the great commandment and the great commission. The great commandment, that you'll love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The great commission to go and to make disciples that we heard this morning from Matthew 28. And they rightly encourage us to be great commandment and great commission churches. If we're not those things, we're not the church that Jesus started. We are to love God, love neighbor, and we are to go and to make disciples. Making disciples, the great commission, is central to who we are as a people. We are to help people to achieve their purpose. They are created to become like Christ. You are created to become like Christ. We just talked about that in 2 Corinthians 3. That is the work of God within the believing person, to become more like Christ with ever-increasing glory. We as a body want to ensure that everybody's engaged in that process of becoming more like Him. Why is it so necessary? Well, how does the story go? We were created in the image of God, and then there was the fall. And that image was marred. Some people say destroyed. It was lost at the very least. So image given, image lost. And the way God is restoring His people is giving us this image again through the process of sanctification, so that we'll be like the Father who created us. You know, there's a saying, like Father, like Son. Well, in many ways, that's meant to apply, apply in the life of the church. The young people and young men and women who have been a part of or are part of Cafe Pete have been blessed in the last few weeks to see that at work. Our 20-month-old Dow has this Dirt Devil vacuum cleaner. It's the miniature version of what we know to be a Dirt Devil. And it's got a curved handle, of course, that you would use to vacuum a floor. Well, on Monday nights, he's been entertaining the group the way he entertains us often at our home. He's standing behind that Dirt Devil, using the handle as a microphone. He has a Bible in hand. He preaches. He sings. He says, Alleluia. Then he says, Amen. Like Father, like Son. Well, a better image probably for us is the fruit does not fall far from the tree. Same concept, different language, the biblical language which Jesus Himself used to describe what's going on. He is the vine, we are the branches. The fruit that we produce in our lives, or that He produces within us, should not fall far from who He is as the vine. That's the image into which we are being transformed. That is the source of who we are to be, who we are becoming. Now, often in the modern day, we confuse the work of God within the life of the Christian and the life of the church. Sometimes we think that God is more interested in our comfort, when the truth is He's interested in our character, developing our character. Rick Warren sums it up well, in these words, many Christians misinterpret Jesus' promise of the abundant life to mean perfect health and a comfortable lifestyle, constant happiness, full realization of your dreams, and an instant relief from problems through faith and prayer. In a word, they expect the Christian life to be easy. They expect heaven on earth. This self-absorbed perspective treats God as a genie who simply exists to serve you in your selfish pursuit of personal fulfillment. But God is not your servant. And if you fall for the idea that life is supposed to be easy, either you will become severely disillusioned or you will live in denial of reality. Never forget that life is not about you. You exist for God's purpose, not vice versa. Rick Warren captures it well. It's not about our comfort, but about our character. God intends to transform us, and we know from that biblical image of being branches of the vine, that's sometimes a painful process. Have you ever pruned a plant? Have you ever thought of how God wants to prune you and prune me? It's not a very comfortable image. He has to cut away that which is of no use to him in order for the branch to produce more fruit. And that's what God is doing to us in this process of sanctification. He is pruning the branches so that we are more like what the vine is, producing fruit that only the vine can produce in us. Another way of thinking about it is using Paul's words from the Ephesians when he talks about what it looks like to become a Christian person. Three short verses, if you want to follow along, from Ephesians 4, verses 22 through 24. You were taught with regard to your former way of life, he says, to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So he gives us this three-step process of what does sanctification look like? It's the putting off of the old self. It's being transformed in terms of our thinking about the way we see the world and the way we understand God and ourselves, and to put on the new self by practicing the things of God, to put on new and godly habits, if you will, that will make us more like God. So we are to put off the old self. We are to be renewed in our attitude, our thinking. And then thirdly, we are to put on the new self, what God intends for us. And this is a lifelong process. Sometimes we think it's quick and easy, but you know, God didn't in his wisdom decide to download information into us, to stick a chip in us and allow us to achieve all these things instantly. No, it's a lifelong process, and it won't be over until the end. He may make great progress in one season of life within us and not so much in another. But he does mean for us to keep moving forward. He does mean for the glory to be on the rise, increasing. And so we want to be open to that. But never imagining that we will achieve, or he will achieve in us, the end, this side of glory. If he does, it comes at the end of time, certainly not the beginning of the journey. And what does he use to transform us? He uses truth. He uses truth to sanctify us. Jesus himself tells us that we are to be sanctified by the truth, and he says, your word is truth. And it's so important to remember that because we have so many authorities in our lives. There are so many things that are competing for the right to change us and to make us into some kind of image other than what we were intended to be. Sometimes it's the culture. How does that impact us? Well, everyone's doing it. Why not me? Sometimes it's tradition. That's the way we've always done it, rather than reconsidering whether it's the right way or the wrong way. Sometimes it's reason that seeks to shape us. What seemed logical, it just seemed the right thing to do. And sometimes we let emotion govern our lives, be the sanctifying element. Well, it just felt right. And of course, we all know that if it feels good, we ought to just do it. Those things compete to transform us, to change us into something other than what God wants us to be, but we are to be sanctified by the truth. And God's word is truth. So we are to know the Bible. We are to understand the Bible. And we all know that. I suspect through this part of the sermon, I've told you nothing new, nothing surprising, or even a different way in which we intend to be church here at St. Peter's. We know that the truth sanctifies us. We know that we ought to be informed by the word, which is the truth. That is the very thing that shapes us. But where we want to be different, where we want to become the church that Jesus started, is in the means by which we achieve that here at St. Peter's. In the modern day church, we've often applied reason, if you will, or might even say business principles to making disciples. You know, we are great exporters of what we consider truth around the world and around our nation. We have great means of doing it. We can produce books in mass, can't we, and distribute them through bookstores everywhere. And of course, we have the internet, which is far more powerful in terms of getting information out to people. We've tried to make efficient this work of making disciples. If we just get people the knowledge into their hands, if they just have a book they can read, or if they just can call it up online and read it from their screen, we'll all be more like Christ. And we never want to rule out the power of God to do that through a book or through the internet. But that's not the image that God gives us. Discipleship is always about relationship, and it always comes out of relationship. We heard this morning two lessons, one from Acts 16 and one from 2 Corinthians 1, and it's the relationship of Paul and his disciple Timothy. And you heard in Acts that he was there in Derbe and Lystra with Timothy, and he wanted him to go with him. Paul did. And so he took on this young man who was full of faith and full of vigor. There's really not much of a relationship there. But they travel together. They do the work of God together. They live day in and day out together. And by the time 1 and 2 Timothy are written, Paul refers to Timothy in a different way. It's not objective, it's subjective. He is his true son, his beloved son. And he even speaks of in 2 Timothy 1 of the tears that were shed. More than likely, tears that were shed by Timothy when he and Paul parted ways because Timothy didn't want him to go. They have a relationship, a deep and abiding relationship, one that causes tears to well up in Timothy's eyes as Paul makes his way to another place. Over time, that's what discipleship is. That's how discipleship happens. It's out of a relationship like that. It can't be achieved by a book, and it can't be achieved by the internet alone. It can't be achieved even by a classroom. You know, we can put on really good classes here and teach what the Bible says. But there's not a lot. Let me make sure I get this right. There is value in that. But the ultimate value is knowing how to apply that truth, what we learn, to life. And that means doing life together. That means having a relationship where someone teaches you, who's ahead of you, if you will, in the process of being sanctified, whose experiences, challenges that you're now facing, and can tell you how the scriptures apply to making your way through it. It comes out of a relationship. And that's one of our commitments, is to create space for those kind of relationships to happen, to create space where we are intentional about them and connecting people who want to disciple and who want to be discipled, so that the ultimate goal is achieved of knowing how to apply truth to real life circumstances. In my many years of pastoring, it's been shown again and again that what Paul taught us in Ephesians 4 is true about putting off the old self, about being transformed in our thinking and our way of seeing the world, and about putting on the new self. People come and they're seeking guidance. They're having trouble within a relationship, within a marriage, or trouble forgiving someone who's done them wrong. And the conversation, once the challenge is identified, goes back to, well, what's standing in the way? There is this part of us that's unsanctified that we refuse to give up, that we have to put off. And so the Bible doesn't identify that in detail for each person. It's conversation that reveals that to the person. Oh yeah, I guess I'm just hanging on to this way of doing things. I'm hanging on to this destructive pattern of life that only emerges from conversation. A deep and intimate relationship in which you trust the person to shape you into the mind of Christ. Then out of that comes, well, there's a different way of looking at it. I once counseled someone who wanted someone rightly, in a sense, disciplined in accordance with Matthew 18. I said, well, you know, that's not the only image that God gives us for dealing with those who are acting out of line. I said there is 1 Corinthians 5 and there is, and 1 Corinthians 6, and there is a place where God challenges us to think, well, maybe it's just okay for me to be wrong. I won't demand justice. I'll lay aside that demand for justice for the welfare of the whole. And so someone can say, oh, there's more than one way of approaching this issue. I can think and pray through where God wants me to go. And then, of course, always there's the process of talking about, well, what kind of habits might we take on? What ways, in what ways might we be transformed more into the likeness of Christ? Putting off of the old, being transformed into our thinking, putting on the new. That's where discipleship occurs. That's how people become more like Jesus. Applying truth. And that happens in a personal relationship. It happens in an abiding relationship in which we trust the other person to have a great concern for where we're going in life. And that's where we want to be different. We're not going to stop having classes. We're not going to stop using the internet to proclaim truth and disseminate truth. We're not going to stop promoting books. But we're always going to have in mind the ultimate goal, the building up of personal relationships where one person disciples another, where iron truly sharpens iron. We're committed to that task. It's not an easy thing, but we are committed to it. So what does it mean to be a disciple? It means to be a person who's being transformed. That is, putting off the old self, transformed in our thinking, putting on the new self. And the means by which we intend to achieve that here at St. Peter's is through personal relationship. And so what I want to say to you is to encourage you to be a disciple. And all disciples are meant ultimately to make others. That's what the Great Commission is all about. So we should find ourselves in both places of having someone lead us further down the path and then making ourselves available to lead others down the same path. And that's the way that we want everyone to be engaged in the life of our church. And so I want to encourage you, talk to me, talk to Paul Martin, who's the staff liaison to the discipleship team. Talk to Eric Williamson or Jan Hatchett and say, you know, I heard what John said. I really understand that biblical truth that I'm meant to be in a relationship with someone else who's shaping my life so that it's more like that of Jesus. And I'd like to be there. Or perhaps you are in that process deeply and you realize the burden now to hear that Great Commission to go and to make disciples. And you're prepared to teach others. Make yourself available for that. I once thought that evangelism was the most important purpose of the church. I've come to rethink that and reconsider it. Why? It was born out of a sense that Jesus was passionate about the lost. And of course, he was. But the only way that we're going to be passionate about the lost is if we're transformed in the likeness of Jesus. That's what makes us passionate about reaching people who don't know God, that they might know him and be redeemed. We don't do it because it's a principle. We do it because we're more sanctified in the life of Jesus, and Jesus loves lost people. The more we become like him, the more we will love lost people. And so discipleship is at the core of the church. Relationships leading to people being more like Jesus. Be all in. Be all in for transformation. Talk to us personally about a relationship in which you can participate, in which you are being sanctified. Or let us know if you're ready and want to be a part of sanctifying others, this great work of God called discipleship. Either way, be all in. All in for transformation.